And I want to give you a little bit of a head start. You need to find Zechariah. Now, I'll help you a little bit. Malachi is the last book in the Old Testament. Zechariah is the one right before it, so that makes it a little easier. Or you can just turn to page 1295 in your Bibles, whatever you'd like to do. Now, we're not going to start there. Just put a marker there. I'll do the same. We'll be back in a little bit. I really was not expecting to teach on this. I can go ahead and tell you the title tonight. It's called Fasting for the Father. Fasting for the Father. You know, we just got through finishing the series Sermon on the Mount, and Matthew chapter 6 is a part of that. Go ahead and turn to Matthew 6, and that's part of the Sermon on the Mount. And I know we've taught on this before, but boy, this thing, when he uncovered this to me just in the last few days, way back in Zechariah, it just hit me in a way that I've never seen it before. So let me actually find the verses. I've got them on my page in case we need context. So when he gets to this portion of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6, he starts talking about three things. First, he starts talking about your alms, so let's say your giving, okay? And then he talks about prayer, when you pray. And then he talks about fasting. And on all three of those, he makes the point, when you do any of those things, now alms is not exactly the same. It's not wrong for people to see you come up and put your offering in the bucket, you know, during a service. But alms is a little different. That's when you give money to the poor. And I love how Dave would say it. When you can't improve on it, you just steal Dave's stuff, you know. But Dave would say, you don't want to be like the hypocrites and blow a trumpet. And Dave would go, dun da da dun da da da, dun da da dun da da da. Everybody gather around. I'm about to give some money to the poor. Aren't I more special than you? Or however Dave would do that, you know. So the point, though, these are things that we do to the Father. And what's so interesting, let's see now. I don't know if I can do it that quick. In the previous chapter, he says, let your light so shine that your works may be seen of men. Well, he's sure not talking about these three works. That's the things that we normally do to be seen of men. Okay, giving, you know. I told somebody the other day who's fasting and doing it right. They're not, you know, walking in with 2 gallon jugs of water. I mean, you pretty well know what's going on when you, you know, it says don't disfigure your face. Well, in other ways, you can carry in 2 gallon jugs of water. You kind of advertise in your fasting. But this one lady just this week, I hadn't seen her in a while, and you know, it's hard to fast. I mean, it's hard not to notice when they're just going away. And I said, wow, you know, but the purpose is to do it unto the Father. Well, so when he says, let your works so shine that they may be seen of men, he's not talking about giving, he's not talking about prayer, and he's not talking about fasting. What's he really talking about? Well, it would be things like heal the sick, cast out devils. See, those things should be done publicly, you know. We're going to come to the place where we don't take people into it. We don't do it here, but big churches especially, you know, if somebody needs a devil cast out, they would take them into a separate room because they want to keep everything, quote, seeker friendly. They want to offend anybody or anything. I like how Dave does it, you know, he's come out, you know, and sometimes they're just, you know, be on the floor. One guy, he slid like a snake coming up behind Dave. You remember that? And this other guy was going to punch Dave in the stomach, you know. Come out. You remember that? And Dave said, he's a big guy. And he came right up to me, and he was, you know, getting ready to hit Dave in the stomach. And for y'all that can't see me, how do I describe this? Great big guy comes up to Dave, and he's got his arm back, and he's going to hit Dave in the stomach. And he goes, pink. All he could do is, pink, barely touched it. Oh, wait a minute. I'm going to kill you. Pink. This one time, Dave said, come out. You know how Dave does? He'd nonchalantly, and he starts, you know, cleaning his fingernails and continues to preach. You know, and this guy's foaming at the mouth and flopping like a chicken on the floor. And then he gets up and he's got like coming up behind Dave like he's going to do something, you know. And everybody else is like, and Dave would just keep preaching, the end result, those devils would always come out. See, and it's good for that to be seen publicly. It's good to see the power of God. I think the healings are going to be so manifested. They're going to come out of the wheelchairs. It's going to be just like the guy at the Gate Beautiful who was lame. Everybody knew this guy. There's no getting around. You know, everybody knew this guy. He's been there for years. And boy, when he got healed, everybody knew it. Well, that's the way it should be. Let your work shine. But now, the subject tonight is things that we do to the Father. Okay. For the purpose, secret. So let's just look at these real quick. We're going to particularly talk about fasting tonight. But let's start in Matthew 6:1. Take heed, that means be careful, that you do not your alms, your giving to the poor, before men. To be seen of them. Don't make that your purpose. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father, which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound the trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogue. Apparently, they really did this. They blew a trumpet in the synagogue, I'm about to give to the poor. Oh, my goodness. Anyway, nowadays, you just get on TV with a 6 foot by 8 foot by 6 foot check, you know. Anyway. And in the streets. Why? What's their purpose? Well, that they may have glory of men. Well, and you'll get it, too. People will give it to you. And they say, well, you got your reward. Verily, verily, I say unto you that they have their reward. But thou, when thou doest thine alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. Now, he just means keep it a secret if it's at all possible. Okay? That thy alms may be in secret. And notice, thy Father, which seeth in secret himself, shall reward thee openly. Well, we'll teach on the reward another night. But I'll tell you the first level. You'll feel his pleasure. On this, Sue and I, I don't know how many times that we've had that testimony back to zero again. Especially in the early days. And we'd finally get a little breathing room, just a little breathing room financially. And all of a sudden, he'd lay something on our heart. How many times? Empty that bank account again. So we're driving home. You know, I'd usually try and leave $10 in there just to cover the bank fee. You know, we're driving home again. And in the natural, you know, your lower lip should be interfering with the gas pedal, right? Like Dave says, you know. But the truth of the matter was, man, the pleasure we felt. We not only did it bless the people, but man, we could feel his pleasure. And I'm telling you, that is a reward that there's no substitute for that. All right, let's look at the next one. When thou prayest, verse 5, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets. And again, why? That they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. Now, I know somebody in this church who literally has a prayer closet. Got a little twin-size mattress in there. Shuts the door and prays. Hey, glory to God. I found out by accident. They wasn't showing it off to me either. Okay, I found out just by accident. But that you don't really, I don't think it's legally you have to be in a closet. I think the point is to keep it secret. And I'm going to prophesy by teaching, not yeah. I'm telling you, this church is called the Family Prayer Center, and it's about to really become that again. I'm telling you, we're coming into a season of intimacy, that there is no substitute for prayer, worship, real worship, real one-on-one, you and the Father. That's what he's talking about here. All right? But pray to thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. Now, I'm going to skip over the rest of this because we're not really teaching on prayer tonight. But you see the principle. When you give, do it between you and the Father. When you pray, it's between you and the Father. Now, let's talk about fasting. Verse 16. Moreover, if you fast, is that what it says? When you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance. I can't believe they really did all this stuff, but apparently they did. For they disfigure their faces. I wonder what, did they use charcoal around the eyes? I wonder what they did, you know. For they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. In other words, I'm fasting. I want all of you to know it. Again, I love our Pat. Don't you love Pastor Dave? He says, man, when he first started fasting, you see, I'd see a little kid going by on a tricycle. I'd want to run up right beside him while he's going and say, I love God so much I haven't eaten since 3 days ago. Just trying to get a little something, you know. But that's the really the wrong motive. When we fast, and let me just read it how he said it. Be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Oh, aren't you holy? Oh, you love God so much. Oh, I see you carrying around your 2 gallon jugs. I know you're fasting. Pat, pat, pat. Well, you got your reward. Okay. All right. But thou, when thou fastest, when you fast, anoint thy head and wash thy face. Now anoint thy head today. Comb your hair. Wash your face. Don't be having no charcoal. That thou appear not unto men to fast. But notice, now this is going to be so important here in Zechariah. But unto thy Father, which is in secret. Who's watching you fast? See, and for the longest time I'm going, because I so identified with the flesh man instead of the spirit man that I really am. Fasting was hard for me. I've admitted it over all these years. You know, it was the shortest leg on my table. You know, long leg of worship, long leg of prayer. Yeah, not too good on worship. Fasting really short, you know, 1 inch long table leg. Really wobbly on the fasting leg. Done a lot better in that in recent years, and I'll tell you why in a minute. But I had the hardest time understanding what pleasure do you get out of me suffering by going without food. But see, the thing of it is, I was so identifying with the suffering part of me, which is the flesh. Now, already I know, and even before we did the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus taught real strong about you're going to have to deal harshly with that flesh. It may be to the point, it may feel like you're gouging out the eye, cutting off the hand, cutting off the foot, but you've got to deal with that flesh. And about that time is when he really showed me what Paul was saying over in Corinthians about even Paul, after preaching to others, he said, if I don't keep my body under, there's a danger even I could wind up being a castaway. And that word castaway is reprobate. So there's really a lot to this fasting thing, just like Dave said all these years. Anyway, verse 18, But thou, when thou fastest, comb your hair, in other words, anoint thy head, comb your hair, wash your face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. And I'm just going to preview and give you, I'll tell you one thing that I've learned in this process, and I've got a lot to learn about fasting. I'm not an expert, but I've done a lot more this last couple of years, 3 years, I guess, than we have in a long time. I'll tell you one thing. My Father's enjoying watching me finally grow up. I'm becoming a son of His that understands the difference between my spirit and my body. And my body may be screaming like a stuck hog, you know, but He's watching the Son grow up, start taking dominion over that thing. That no, you'll eat what I say and when I say, and you can holler just like a child. You can cry all you want, but that's the law. He's enjoying that, watching me grow up. And again, it all has to do with handles. It has to do with if God's going to really use us in revival, we cannot have big old flesh handles sticking out everywhere that the devil can just grab hold of. Anyway, that's another message. Now, go over to Mark chapter 2 just for a moment. Let me go over there with you. Mark chapter 2. So more recently, I've understood that part there for a few years. And then even more recently, I have understood that Jesus was completely serious when he said that once he ascends into heaven, once he's removed from the earth physically, that his disciples would fast. And I remember what an impact that had on me. Because for many years, I've been at this a while, you know. And for many years, I call myself a disciple. Yeah, I'm a disciple. Well, let's compare that with Mark chapter 2 here. So, we'll pick it up in verse 18. And the disciples of John and of the Pharisees used to fast. And they came and say unto him, why do the disciples of John and of the Pharisees fast? And now notice, but thy disciples fast not. If you underline, you want to underline the word disciples. Disciples is the subject matter here. Your disciples, we're watching them. They're not fasting. We're fasting. We're disciples of John the Baptist. The Pharisees' disciples, they fast. But we've been watching your disciples. They're not fasting. We don't understand. So Jesus said unto them, can the children of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then shall they fast in those days. Now, Who will fast? His disciples. I remember the day that verse finally hit me right in the face like a ton of bricks. And I said, for 20 years I've been calling myself a disciple of Jesus. And for all practical purposes, I haven't fasted enough to spit on. That's changing. And that was about 3 years ago. Been doing a little better at it ever since. But if I want to call myself a disciple of Jesus, according to him, well, let me ask you. He said, when in the dispensation when he's been taken away, is that not now? He's seated at the right hand of the Father. I know he's in our heart, but physically, in his glorified body, he has been taken away. Well, this is that time. And he says, in those days, look at it. And then shall they fast in those days. Well, these are those days. So I've done better since I understood that. I said, well, man, there's just no getting around that. If I'm a disciple, I fast. Now, how much? You got to work that out with the Holy Ghost. It depends somewhat on your medical conditions. It depends on your duties, you know. I'm thinking a brain surgeon. I want mine to have a good breakfast. I'd like a little sugar to the brain. You know what I'm saying? I'd like a little. But what he does when he's not working on me, that's fine. But anyway, I'm just saying you gotta work it out with the Holy Ghost. What's God's plan for you? Okay. But what's not acceptable anymore is no fasting at all. That's just not acceptable. And I know I get ridiculed a little bit, and it's okay. I'm thick-skinned because I started on a Daniel's fast. Oh, you ought to heard some of the stuff. Oh yeah. Big suffering. You get to eat every day. Yeah, but I didn't get to have burgers or chicken. I'm telling you, even that had an effect. My flesh didn't like it one little bit. It did not like it. And we actually lost some weight on it. Me and Angie, we started at the same time. But it started the discipline. But then came, you know, water fasting where you don't, and then, you know, a little bit more and a little bit more. So, just say it with me. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. These are the days when he's been taken away. And I am a faster. I do it unto my Father. And I get my reward from my Father. That's good stuff right there. Now let's go to Zechariah, or Zeke as some call him. Nobody calls him that. Zechariah chapter 7. And again, I'll tell you, Malachi is the last book in the Old Testament. Zechariah is the one right before it. Let me go there, too, because we're going to do some things in context. Now, I'm just going to look at the verse first that just, I mean, it just like come off the page at me. This is during the time of the 70-year captivity when they were captive in Babylon. And I don't know exactly where it is. If I studied more, I'd know how long it'd been. But they're in that captivity period. And just to catch you up a little bit, they've been doing a fast on the, I think it's the fifth month and the seventh month. But anyway, we'll get to that in a minute. But they're coming to the priest asking, do we need to continue doing this fast? We've been doing it for, you remember, they were there for 70 years. You remember that? Do we need to continue doing this or not? And the answer the Lord gives them is not at all what they were expecting. So let's just pick it up in Zechariah 7. Let's just look at verse 5. Verse 4. Then came the word of the Lord of hosts unto me, that's the prophet, saying, speak unto all the people of the land and to the priests, saying, when you fasted, and he's talking about these fasts they've been doing every year that they've been there. When you fasted and mourned, yeah, it is, in the fifth and seventh month, even those 70 years, now get this. Actually, I think this is at the end of that time, but anyway, did you at all fast unto me? And notice, even to me? And I wondered in the Hebrew if the construction was really that way, because that's strong, isn't it? It is. It's that way. Did you fast unto me? Even to me? Let me read it to you out of the Amplified. Speak to all the people of the land and to the priest, saying, when you fasted and mourned in the fifth and seventh months, even though 70 years, so apparently this is after that 70-year period, I'm sorry. So apparently they were asking, should we continue this fasting now that the 70-year? Well, he doesn't even, to him it's almost irrelevant. What's relevant to the Father? Let's talk about the kind of fasting you did. Even though 70 years you were in exile, was it for, now this is Amplified, it's the closest to the Hebrew, was it for me that you fasted? For me? It's actually in there twice. Oh my goodness. I'm not big on commentaries, but on this one, Matthew Henry did a pretty good job. You care if I read you a few paragraphs from Matthew Henry? He said, they had not an eye to God in their fasting. The question is, did you at all fast unto me, even to me? He is appealing to their own conscience. They will witness against them that they had not been sincere in it. Much more will God, who is greater than the heart and knows all things. God's really telling them, you know full well you did not at all fast to me. In fasting, did you fast to me? There was the form of duty. In other words, he's not saying they didn't do it. But there was none of the life and soul and power in it that there should have been. So he said, was it to me? Even to me? Now, the repetition intimates what a great deal of stress is laid upon this in the main matter. In not only fasting, but in all of the holy exercises that he had them do, that they be done to God, even to him, with an eye to his word as the rule. And notice, and his glory as our end. In everything we do, seeking to please him and to obtain his favor, and studious by the sincerity of our intention to approve ourselves to him. When this is wanting, every fast, he says, is but a jest. To God, it's just a joke. Let's think about the ones that were doing it to be seen of men. God's going, I don't even count that a fast. They're not doing that for me. They're not doing that to grow up as sons and take authority over their flesh. They're doing it just to be seen of men and to get glory of men. God doesn't even count that as a fast. He doesn't even notice it. That's what he's telling them. You'll see why here in a minute. So Matthew Henry says, to fast and to not fast to God was to mock him and provoke him. And it could not be pleasing to him. Those that make fasting a cloak for sin, like Jezebel, did you know she fasted? Or by it they make their court to men for their applause, like the Pharisees? Or those that rest in outward expressions of humiliation while their hearts remain unhumbled? Or that, okay, I read that, such as Ahab. Did y'all know Ahab fasted? The most wicked king Israel ever had. But he fasted. So did Jezebel. Is this the fast that God has chosen? That's from Isaiah 58, verse 5. How many remember Dave methodically teaching us, is this the fast I have chosen? Is not this the fast? If the seriousness of our fasting, even though it's frequent, long, and severe, if that fasting does not serve to put an edge upon our devout affections, in other words, something between us and God, or to quicken prayer, or to increase godly sorrow, and to alter the temper of our minds and the course of our lives for the better, they do not at all answer the intention, and God will not accept them as performed to Him, even to Him. So if we couple this up with the thinking in Matthew 6, where He says, in your giving, in your praying, in your fasting, this is something between you and your Father. Do you know He delights? I think I was telling you the joy that we had when we're back to zero and we emptied out our bank account again and just delivered somebody that was right on the brink more than once. You know, they were just really in serious trouble. And when we left, they weren't in trouble anymore. Well, we had joy. But you know who else had joy? Our Father had joy. And He got to participate in that. And it was something that we did. It's between us and Him. And we always would tell them, don't tell anybody where this come from. You know, they had to know. But we weren't doing it for anybody to be saved. We did it for just the love of God. See? And this fasting is supposed to be the same way. Now, you're still in Zeke? You're still in Zechariah? All right. Let's go back to there just for a moment. Let's talk about what He thought they should have done while they were fasting. If they were really fasting unto Him. So. All right. I'm going to read those two verses again. Now, remember, they had come to ask, should we keep doing this fasting? Well, basically, God's saying, well, not if you're going to do it the way you've done it before. It doesn't matter whether you do it or whether you don't do it, because you weren't doing it to me anyway. Right? Is that the way you read it? That's the way I read it. So He said, I'm going to read it again. So then came verse 4. Then came the word of the Lord of hosts unto me, saying, speak unto all the people of the land and to the priests, saying, when you fasted and mourned in the fifth and 7 months, even though 70 years, did you at all fast unto me, even to me? And when you did eat and when you did drink, did not you eat for yourselves and drink for yourselves? Now, can you hold your place there? Hold your place there. I'm going to show you a New Testament counterpart to that verse, 1 Corinthians 10:31. In other words, what He's really saying there, listen, you had yourselves on your mind when you were fasting. You had yourselves on your mind when you were eating. God's talking to them like for real. He's talking to them straight. Look, you didn't have me on your mind when you was fasting. You didn't have me on your mind when you was eating. Is that plain? Now look at this. So He says here in Zechariah, when you did eat and when you did drink, did not you eat for yourselves and drink for yourselves? Look at 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Man, if I ever get that, my diet has changed. There are things that I eat, trust me, that does not bring glory to God. The amount does not bring glory to God. I'm getting a lot better at that. But what He's... And even like, who was it? Alan or somebody mentioned even today that there might be times, you know, if me eating meat would offend that weak believer over there. Well, my eating needs to bring glory to God. I'm not going to offend my brother by eating meat. If it offends him, I'm not going to do it in his presence. You know, make him stumble. So even when we eat and we do, whether we fast, the point is whether we fast or whether we eat, we're supposed to do both to the glory of God. And that, look at 10:31. Whether you eat or drink, Or how about, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. See, and really this all goes back to the Sermon on the Mount, the basic principle. We are not on this planet for God to serve us. We are on this planet for us to serve God. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. We are here on temporary assignment from heaven for the Father's will to be done through the body, and we are to find our place in the body and let Him do that through us. Amen? Okay. All right, back to Zechariah. So verse 6, he's saying, listen, you didn't have me on your mind when you was fasting. You didn't have me on your mind when you was eating either. Now, here's what he starts giving them counsel in verse 7. Should you not hear the words which the Lord hath cried by the former prophets? Now, he's talking about before the captivity. In other words, I kept sending you prophets. You didn't have to go into that captivity in the first place. You should have listened to the word of the Lord then. When Jerusalem was inhabited and in prosperity, and the cities thereof round about her, when men inhabited the south and the plain. In other words, back before that judgment ever came, if you'd have listened to the prophets then, it wouldn't have ever even happened. Verse 8, and the word of the Lord came unto Zechariah speaking. Here's those words. So he's repeating again to them now, so hopefully they won't come into judgment again, what the prophets were telling them before. Because God doesn't change. So he says, verse 9, thus speaking the Lord of hosts, saying, execute true judgment, and show mercy and compassion every man to his brother. And oppress not the widow, nor the fatherless, the stranger, nor the poor. And let none of you imagine evil against his brother in your heart. Gosh, that almost sounds New Testament, doesn't it? Love thy brother as thyself. Love one another as I have loved you. Love is the fulfilling of the law. It's a precursor to that. Verse 11, but they refused. See, this is why they went into judgment in the first place. But they refused to hearken and pulled away the shoulder and stopped their ears that they should not hear. That yea, they made their hearts as an adamant stone, lest they should hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts has sent in his spirit by the former prophets. Therefore came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts. Boy, this verse here. Therefore it has come to pass that as he cried, now that's God crying unto them by the voice of the prophets, as he cried and they would not hear, so later they cried and I would not hear, saith the Lord of hosts. Isn't that strong? Verse 14. But I scattered them with a whirlwind among all the nations, whom they knew not. Thus the land was desolate after them, that no man passed through nor returned, for they laid the pleasant land desolate. He says they did it. And how did they do it? Rebellion. Disobedience. Prophet after prophet after prophet. Repent, repent. Right now what's going on in the church at large, and we're just a small voice. I mean, but there's many voices worldwide in the church today telling the church to repent. It is in a direct opposition to the false grace, greasy grace, ooey-gooey love message that God is only love and it's only, you know, ooey-gooey all the time. God is love. Any parent knows real love is not always ooey gooey. Any real parent knows. Y'all remember that? You know the time that Lily, when she was just, I don't know, 3 or 4, my granddaughter, I'm sitting on the front porch and Papa doesn't move as fast as Papa used to. She's just playing, not 4 feet from me, just playing. And she give me this funny look. I don't know why. She give me this little look and a grin, a twinkle. Turns around. And them little short legs was booking it towards the road. And there's cars. Our street's pretty busy. There's cars. Man, Papa come off of that chair. You know, I'd like to think I look like a gazelle, but I look like a lumbering elephant probably.
And I grabbed her by the arm just as her feet was leaving the curb, getting ready to go off into that street. Man, I had her by the arm in my left hand. Now, today, I probably shouldn't tell this because today I'm whacking her on the behind. Don't you ever run into that street again, you know. And don't tell me that's not love. That is love. I'm trying to save her life. But she loves her papa to this day. You know, she knows her papa loves her. Give me none of your stuff. But anyway. Anyhow, I got a round file cabinet for all that. It's right by my desk. Lots of stuff goes in that file cabinet. We have to empty it pretty regular. All right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So this fasting, you know, what's he really saying here? He's saying, you know, what I'd really like is for you to fast the world and listen to my word. Can you tell that's what he's saying? What good is fasting if you're not going to hearken to what I say? Reminds me, go all the way back again to the Sermon on the Mount. Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not what I say? He's saying the same thing all the way back here in Zechariah. He says, you're the ones that made the land desolate through your disobedience. I sent you prophet after prophet after prophet trying to get you to repent. You just wouldn't do it. You wouldn't do it. And finally, he's also justice. Remember, Dave would teach on the attributes of God. And one of his attributes that's immutable and he can't change is judgment and justice. So that's why Jesus had to die. He couldn't just forgive us. A price had to be paid. Somebody had to pay. Well, somebody did. His name is Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. I brought this. Tim sent me some excerpts, and I don't know if I'll have permission to post this at the website. This is a little over a page, a little bit on the second page. I want you to hear this, because we're talking about pleasing the Father. These things that we do in secret. Giving, praying, and fasting between you and your Father. These are things that you guys, that we do together with Him. But it's really personal. It's you and Him, you know. And I'm telling you, it's some of the best times of our life has been in those secret things where we just do it and God gets enjoyment and we get... Now, the natural part of you goes back to zero again, oh brother. But can you tell that He's taking care of us? You can tell I haven't missed too many meals, right? Okay. He provides. So Tim, he did this. He has this software that somebody did where he's able to do word searches. And he did a thing on pleasure from the Father's perspective, from the prophecies. These are all through Dave. And there's probably more than just what's on this page here. But man, just let me read. Let me share this with you. And if it's okay, then we'll put a PDF of this at the website. Okay, these are excerpts from Dave Roberson prophecies. All of these came through Dave. The main line of the foundation of the apostles was the understanding of who you became in Christ. And I did not send my Spirit to lead and guide you into all truth. And did I not send my Spirit to lead and guide you into all truth, and to expound and cause you to understand and bring things back to remembrance that I may teach you? For the reason that my church is in the condition that it is in, and he's talking worldwide, not just here, is because they do not understand their foundation or who they are in me. Therefore, for many generations, many of my children have had nothing but sand to build their lives and ministries and their walks upon. Nothing but sand. False doctrine. Okay. But I would say to you that as soon as in any generation I find any of my servants who will hear my voice and adopt the Holy Spirit as their teacher, I have many things to say. For I will raise them up, and they will not take the glory, for it will not be the man, but it will be my message, says the Lord. They will give me all the glory, that I will begin change. For in every generation, whoever would hear me I would start the same thing over and over again. For as you know from the writings of those who went before you, that they would understand. I think he's talking about the Smith Wigglesworths, the A.W. Tozers. He could go on back, you know. They would understand. And then the generation after would lose the understanding. Then they would understand again. Well, I am lining up for a great move, says the Lord. Be strong and be of good cheer, for it is the Father's good pleasure to place you in the center of it. Just a minute. My feet. Did you hear that? Kelly, it's your Father's good pleasure to put you, and I can look at every eyes, and I can look at every eye here, to put you in the center of it. Don't you want that? I want that. Okay. Now, even though from generation to generation, I have been able to visit and get so far past the foundation, it is very seldom that I get to expound on the love of money being the root of all evil. Now, isn't that interesting? Very, very few times I have been able to establish the slave, and in context, financial servant. The one path he made many times, but the path where men totally freed themselves from the love of money as the root of all evil was very far and very few between. There have been very few ever able to get free of that. The Father wants to express that He is extremely pleased that both of these paths have found their way out of here, talking about the prayer center. He was very pleased that the two things that turn revival, He is able to establish a path out of them. And He wants you to know that He is extremely pleased. Last paragraph. Sue, take up an offering right here, will you? This is just too good, I'm telling you. It is the Father's good pleasure to pick you up out of your tests and trials and to comfort you and to strengthen you. He takes pleasure in that. But oh, He receives great pleasure when you are to the place where you do not have to be picked up. You don't have to be picked up to release that kind of fellowship in His presence. In other words, you get into His presence not because you're in such a terrible trial. You get into His presence just because you want to. See, I like to be in Sue's presence. Not just when I'm in trouble. I just like to be in her presence. Well, He likes for us to want to be in His presence. I'm telling you, intimacy is the call of the day. And you're not going to have real intimacy without repentance. The two just go hand in hand. But anyway. He receives great pleasure when you are to the place where you do not have to be picked up to release that kind of fellowship in His presence, but that you can release it before or in the middle of anything, before the trial, in the middle of the trial, because your fellowship has come to that place with Him. And He said He likes that place better. Now, as a parent, raised three daughters, all of them different as they can be. I wouldn't change one. I just love them all. But we've had fellowship over the years in good times and bad times, you know. And, boy, if they're in trouble, you know, and of course now they're married and got husbands and that's different. But when they were younger, of course, if they're in trouble, man, I don't want them running from me. I want them running to me. I want to help. And I want that fellowship. But boy, what's even better than that? What he's saying? Hey, Dad, I made an extra cinnamon roll. Sorry, this is when I could still eat them. Thought you might like to have this cinnamon roll, and you really want to just come over and visit. Oh, now that's what he's talking about. That's what he's talking about. It's not because there's an emergency, not because there's a trial, not because anything's going on. Daddy, can I just come spend some time with you? Oh, You have made my day. And just know when we want to go into His presence and just pray, get into His Word, even fast. And I love, don't forget the message a week or so ago, God's to-do list. Boy, if He lays it on your heart to give somebody some money, little or big, doesn't matter. I'm telling you, just obey that. Do it simply. And man, the reward is more than you could possibly buy with whatever that was. He loves that kind of fellowship. So say it with me. I don't do anything for the glory of man. I don't do anything to be seen of people. Everything I do. How does it? Even when I eat, when I drink, and whatever I do everything for the glory of God. And I love to spend time in His presence just because I love to spend time in His presence. Hallelujah. Right. Glory to God. Fasting for the Father. Fasting for the Father. And I'll know more about it next year than I know now. But I know a lot more about it now than I did a few years ago. Say it with me one more time. I am a disciple. These are the days when the bridegroom has been taken away. I'm a disciple. And I fast. There you go. Hallelujah.